PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in
signs, signs, signs! They're everywhere! Traffic signs, billboards, commercial signs, street signs, store signs, movie marquees. Now, did you ever wonder why there are so many signs everywhere you look? I mean, they're not just fun to look at. Each one has a purpose. Some are very helpful. They keep you safe, like telling you when to stop, and when it's okay to go. Other signs are there to sell you something. They're like TV commercials, only they're on the street. This, a walking, talking sign. Let's see. Zoo, van, ears, for sale. It says souvenirs for sale. Now here's a sign that really gets its point across. And there's more than one way to do it.
In my house, so I always reserve a parking space ahead of time.
If you want to know what I'm up to, just check out my chart.
I like to let people know my quiet time is a must.
I'm planning a very big future.
There are signs everywhere that the environment's getting healthier and healthier.
I know there's one sure sign of a great time.
I always thought that no one could resist a good sale.
What a rotten day.
Some people build signs to make money. Others have something important to say. Well, here's a story of a sign painter who really didn't like making signs until he painted one whose message changed his entire life. It's called The Sign Painter's Dream.
The Sign Painter's Dream by Roger Roth. Read by Jamie Farr. Clarence was a sign painter. People called him Crabby Clarence because he complained about everything. Most of all, he complained about his job.
This job is so boring. I painted the very same sign just last week. It's the same old stuff day after day after day.
The only time he was happy was when he read a history book about the Revolutionary War.
Why couldn't we have lived in George Washington's day? Even ordinary people like me were heroes then. They did glorious and magnificent things and were never bored.
Before long, Clarence was dreaming about the glory days of the Revolutionary War. The next day, while Clarence was working, a small gray-haired woman entered his shop.
Hello! I need you to paint me a big sign.
Well, that's what I'm here for. What do you want this sign to say?
Free apples if you need them. And I'd like it glorious and magnificent so that anyone driving down the road will notice it.
I can make you a sign for only $300.
But I want you to make it for free.
Why should I do it for free? Do I look like Santa Claus?
But I give away my apples for free. You know what my Aunt Tilly used to say? A hero is he who helps people for free. A slime ball, you see, will charge them a fee.
Sorry, lady. I don't have time to make signs for free.
And he stomped back to his workroom. Later that evening, Clarence was mumbling something about
crazy Aunt Tilly
when he dropped off to sleep. In his dream, Clarence found himself working hard by lamplight. Suddenly, the door to a shop swung open and General George Washington stepped into the room. With blazing eyes and a booming voice, Washington spoke directly.
Clarence, I need a sign. Can you do it?
I guess so,
Clarence stammered.
What kind of a sign do you need?
I need a big sign that says send shoes to Valley Forge. My men are desperate. Some of them have to walk in the snow with only rags wrapped around their feet.
Okay, General, I can do the sign for only $300.
$300? Don't give me a headache. I want you to make this sign for free.
For free?
But nothing. Remember what Aunt Tilly used to say. Ye old hero is he who helps people for free. Ye old scoundrel, you see, doth charge them a fee.
Clarence awoke with a start. He sat staring for a moment, and then suddenly he said to his cat,
"We're going to the shop."
All through the night, the sounds of sawing, of hammering, of drilling and sanding could be heard outside the little sign shop. Clarence hummed and whistled as he worked. For the first time in his life, he actually seemed to be enjoying himself. At sunrise, Clarence's truck bounced along the road that led out of town. Soon Clarence saw a big orchard full of ripening apples, and he set to work. A little while later, he strode up to the farmhouse and banged on the door.
Who's there?
Squeaked a voice from inside.
It's Clarence, ma'am. I've got something for you.
My goodness,
said the apple lady as she opened the door and looked out.
You did it! Free apples if you need them. And you remember to make it glorious and magnificent. Now you're a real hero, and you deserve a reward.
Clarence felt terrific. The sign was the most beautiful he had ever made. He was glad the apple lady liked it so much. And when she set down the most perfect slice of apple pie, along with a tall glass of cold milk, he had never been happier. From that day on, people stopped calling him Krabby Clarence. They admired the apple lady's sign and brought Clarence many orders for other glorious and magnificent signs. And now and then, he'd make one just for fun. And for free.
Welcome to nighttime on Times Square, New York City, home of the biggest, brightest, most dazzling signs in the world. And whether they're pitching a product, marketing a movie, or promoting a play, these signs don't just sit there. They sparkle, they glow, they flash, and some of them even move.
Okay, Pete, bring her up. There are 215,326 bulbs lighting up Times Square. And eventually, every single one needs to be replaced. Well, this is Tony Rosario, and it's his job to make sure that Times Square stays lit. But Tony, I see that we have a problem here. We have a letter out in this sign.
All we're gonna do right now is we're gonna take the bad bulbs out. We're gonna put the good ones in. We're gonna light the sign back up.
Great, let's do that. Tony is part of a whole team that lights up Times Square. And not far from here, the rest of the team is busy designing and building these signs.
That team works at a company called Artcraft Strauss. For over 100 years, they've been creating the spectacular signs that light up Broadway. These signs are actually called spectaculars because they splash the entire street with dazzling light. In all these years, the designs on the signs may have changed, but the technique and the talent it takes to make them is pretty much the same. Steel, rivets and bolts, fire, glass, neon, and a talented group of artisans that know exactly how to put them together to make spectaculars. Every sign starts with a design, on paper and with scale models.
My name is Evelyn Deering, and I'm the senior designer here at Artcraft Strauss. We take ideas here and we make them a reality. The project that we're working on now is for Maxwell House, and their logo is the big coffee cup. The big cup is going to be made of fiberglass, and then it's going to be lit from inside, so this will glow. This is the technical drawing that all the departments work from. This is what we consider a master plan. The sign is broken up into separate sections. That's how the sign will be built, in 15 separate sections.
When the master design is complete, the steel sections are constructed in the factory.
I'm Roseanne Collins. I'm a sheet metal worker. What we're doing is putting signs together. We're connecting it. We drill, we tap, we put rivets together. They also have neon housings in it. We have to punch that out by hand for the light to go through on it.
Now the steel panels are finished and ready for the final touch, neon light.
Everybody has a little piece to do in the sign. My name is Chris. I'm a neon glass blower. Pretty much anything a designer puts on paper, we can make into light. We start out with a 4-foot tube of glass, and according to whatever the design is, we can bend it to it. We take the glass tubing and we heat it over different fires to produce different types of bends, such as curves or U-bends or 90-degree bends. Effectively, you're bending light. When we've bent a tube into the shape that we want it, we pump in neon gas. Right now, we're pumping in neon to give it a red color in the glass. We seal it off, and you have a finished neon unit.
When they've been fitted with the neon tubing, the panels and the giant cup are loaded onto flatbed trucks and driven carefully through crowded New York City streets. Now, they're in the hands of the sign hangers.
What up, Blackie? What up?
The sign hangers are truly amazing. They work in all kinds of weather, at tremendous heights, to fit the pieces of a sign in place. Their jobs are very dangerous. They must work as a team. Their lives depend on it. Tony Calvano,
hey Bob,
supervises.
Yeah.
Look out for that neon when you throw down those tag lines, right, Bob?
My job at our craft is the outside operation. That's sign hanging, electrical, whatever is needed on the outside, I'm there to help the situation. Today we're finishing up the mackerel house, the last two sections, and the coffee cup.
Is really up, there's always a lot of tension on the job, but it's always a challenge. People always take for granted how easy, you know, they just see a sign, they never think about how it got there, how it got, you know, the guys that were hanging off the steel and the guys that spent hundreds of hours to make the sign and things like that. People just look at it and say, hey, that's a nice sign. I mean, there's a lot involved, a real lot involved.
You look at any sign in Times Square here that we built, we erected, put up, we lit. That's satisfaction. You can't beat it.
Okay.
The Art Craft team is finished, except for one last exciting touch. When the sun goes down, there's a new, spectacular sparkling over Broadway.
So, Tony, that's it, huh?
That's
we
it.
Did it.
We did it.
Great.
It was great.
Thank you. Hey! I help light up Times Square. So let's see. Crazy for you. You know, you put enough bulbs together and you get a word. You put the right words together and you get a sign or a book. So here are three that are a sure sign of a good time, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, my name is Sherman Jones, and I would like to tell you about a funny make-believe book called The Sign Maker's Assistant. It's about an old man who made the finest signs in town. He had an assistant named Norman. One day, Norman noticed that people did whatever the signs said. So Norman painted a few signs of his own. Soon, he found out that his signs caused trouble. The Sign Maker's Assistant has funny characters and pictures, so visit your local library and ask about this remarkable book today.
Signs are here, signs are there. Signs are everywhere, including right here in this book. I read signs. Signs help people know where to go or what to do, like walk and don't walk. These two signs are opposites. Push, pull. This says detour. It means you're gonna go a different way. I'm Dasha, reminding you that signs aren't confusing, sometimes amusing, but always worth using. I read signs, and so should you. Toodaloo!
Letters are everywhere, and they come in different shapes and sizes. You can read all about them in this book, The Letter Jesters. Some are fancy. Some are bold. Some are fat. Some are skinny. Do you know how uppercase letters got their name? The Letter Jesters explain it all. Typographers are people who decide which typeface to use. They choose different letters to show different feelings. An ordinary dog. A fancy dog. I'm Shanita. Next time you pick up a book or look at a sign, don't forget the Letter Jesters.
And here's something else you shouldn't forget. Most signs are created for one reason. Someone is trying to sell you something. A pair of jeans, or something to eat or drink. The people who made these signs want you to spend your money to buy their products, and that's called advertising.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it's kissing you're missing, why not check up on your breath? Use Colgate Dental Cream.
So use Ajax, bum, bum, the foaming cleanser.
Advertisers want to reach as many people as possible. You can't walk down a street, open up a magazine, or turn on the radio or TV without being bombarded with advertisements.
They're great!
Delicious.
When and how did this all begin?
Ah, good morning, sir. Good morning. I represent the new Feather Touch Vacuum Cleaner Company. Thank you, sir.
Years ago, companies would send a salesman right to your door to demonstrate products. Sometimes that got a little messy, and they needed to reach more people. The answer? Billboards. Advertisers put commercials on signs so big you couldn't miss the message. Print ads in magazines and daily newspapers also reached millions of readers.
Stand by, we're on the air.
Then came radio.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do?
We two boys without a care entertain you folks out there. That's our happiness.
Now advertisers could bring funny phrases and catchy jingles right into America's living rooms.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
And everyone was gathered around the radio listening.
Who's the coolest guy in town?
On television, advertisers could add pictures to commercials. They started out as simple black and white animations.
For the package with the ship that sailed the ocean. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
TV commercials now use state-of-the-art music and filmmaking techniques to pitch their products.
Lego Mania! You got the parts, you got the smarts, you got a case.
Advertising is big business, and there are hundreds of ad agencies across the country. Here, artists and writers use their talents to create ads that will sell thousands of products to you.
I want to make sure that we have...
Carolyn Jones owns her own ad agency in New York City.
Is that what we're
A concept
on?
Is the key to all good advertising. You've got to have something that people will remember. A concept is a great theme line, like we do chicken right, or have it your way, or it's the real thing.
Come on in.
It's the real thing.
As an advertiser, we're trying to sell you our product. But the truth is, there are many products out there that do the same thing.
So when you see a billboard, or watch a TV commercial, your job is to look behind the entertainment it provides. You decide whether or not you need and can afford the product it's selling.
Every sign has its own message, so read it
enjoy its artistry, and then decide for yourself if what it says is right for you. Now, personally, when it comes to signs, I like them big, bright, and flashy. So, tonight, I think I'll sign off on one of the flashiest signs in Times Square. Hey, I'll see you next time. This is great. I've always wanted to be big on Broadway. Hey, hey, everybody. Stephanie, Ed, hey, up here. Hey, Jill, it's me. Hey, look, I'm on the Jumbotron.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are The Sign Painter's Dream by Roger Roth, published by Crown Publishers. The Sign Maker's Assistant by Ted Arnold, published by Dial Books for Young Readers, a division of Penguin Books USA. I Read Signs by Tana Hoban, published by Green Willow Books, a division of William Morrow and Company. The Letter Jesters by Catherine Falwell, published by Tickner and Fields Books for Young Readers, a Houghton Mifflin Company.